Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 32 says this. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted, everybody say insisted. Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was still there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. How many of you feel like you've been fighting heavy waves lately? Like the wind's been trying to blow you up against the rocks. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified in their fear, and they cried out, "It's a ghost!" I don't know why. It may just be because I'm one of those kids that watched, or one of those guys that watched Pixar movies and all that stuff too much. But every time I read this verse, I see, "It's a ghost!" And I think of Mater from Cars. Have y'all ever seen the short called Ghost Light? It's the ghost light. That's what I think of. Anyway, sidebar. My ADD's kicking today, y'all. Sorry. It's a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. Yeah. Out in the middle of this ocean and everything, or this sea and everything. "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here." That's his best superhero. He takes his best superhero stance. Dun, 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 I am here. Okay, that's what I think of. I think about him doing his best superhero stance. He's like, "I am here," his best Mighty Mouse. "Here I come to save the day." Some of these kids are like, "Who?" How many of y'all remember Mighty Mouse? I remember Mighty Mouse. That was one of my favorites. I got to get back to Scripture. I'm going to get myself in trouble. "I am here." Then Peter, verse 28, "Then Peter called to him, 'Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water.' Jesus said, 'Come on then.'" Yes, come. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back in the boat, the wind stopped. Let's pray. Father God, right now, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for this opportunity to share. I pray that my words would be few, your words would be powerful, and that, God, you would let us leave this place with a better understanding of what needs to happen when the struggle gets real. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. When the struggle gets real. Struggling is not fun, right? I hate struggling. I struggle to get out of the bed some days. I struggle to get myself moving. I struggle to motivate myself some days. I struggle just to be in society some days. How many of y'all just feel like some days you could just stay in bed all day long? Especially on days like it was Friday, where it was just rainy, dreary, drizzling all day, and you're sitting there going, "I want to stay home. I don't want to go to work. I don't want to go to school. I don't want to take care of that. I want to stay home." And you sit there and you struggle. I really hate to see my favorite football team or my favorite sports team struggles too. Like last week, we were watching the National League Championship Series for baseball. And we were watching the Braves, and we were watching that game. I think it was game 4 that we were watching. And the Braves, it was in the 8th inning, and they were up, I think, like 5-2. It looked like it was a lock. Then all of a sudden, Cody Bellinger from the Dodgers got up and started a rally that is just unbelievable to me. He automatically killed the ball and just sent it over the fence, started, and all of a sudden everything started falling the wrong way for the Braves, right? It started. How many of y'all watched the World Series or watched the baseball? Okay, I am the, okay, about 3 of us. Okay, we're good then. All right, at least y'all know what I'm talking about though. Everything started falling apart. The Braves started struggling. There were some errors that were made. There were some things that were going. There's some other, I hate to see my favorite football team struggle. I hate to see it. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but you probably already know, Roll Tide. But the thing is, there are certain things that I could say that automatically, people in this room, you would automatically think, okay, I remember that. And you remember the struggle. Like if I say kicker, Alabama folks from the 1990s and the early 2000s, all of a sudden they go, oh, no, don't mention kickers. Don't mention kickers. Or if I mention T.J. Yeldon, some of the Auburn folks in the house, they're going, no, don't talk about him. He's one that helped them out. Or there's two words that'll send an Alabama fan over the edge. Kick six. Or 1 second. That, and Brother Winston's about to, he's blowing up on me now. He's about ready to leave. But I hate to see the struggle. I hate to see the struggle. We watched DJ play against Piedmont this past week, and their team struggled a little bit. It was hard. Struggling in our everyday life is not fun either. Struggling in our everyday life is not fun either. We sit there, and people use that word struggle to describe so many different situations. More often than not, we struggle to pay the bills. How many of you have ever said that? Or you may not have said it, but you thought it. You struggle to pay the bills. Maybe you struggle with your health because you've got so many health issues or so many problems. You struggle raising your kids. Oh, Lord Jesus. Let's just take a moment. But we struggle to raise our kids. And we wonder, where do we go wrong? And we try to raise them right. We struggle. Or we struggle at work. We struggle to pay attention to that boss that gets under our skin or that coworker that you want to just take their head and just pop it right off every now and then. Those people that get on their nerves. We struggle at work. Or we struggle to find purpose and meaning in life. How many of you want to find your purpose? You want to discover your purpose. That's one of the things that we want you to do while you're here. We want you to experience God. We want you to discover purpose. And we want you to invest in the kingdom. we want you to discover that purpose. But struggle, like the definition of struggle. The definition of struggle says this. To contend with an adversary or opposing force. This is my favorite definition though. To make one's way with violent effort. That's how I feel every morning when I got to get out of bed. The kingdom of heaven. Never mind, I'm not going to go there. But the thing is, I feel violent when I get out of bed. Sometimes when I was a kid, I would get so mad when my mom would get me up for school. Any of y'all have kids like that? You have kids like that, Caleb? Okay, we love you, brother, but listen, we may need to talk after service, okay? But I'm with you, man. Okay, there you go. But the thing is, I was that kind of kid that my mom would come in, she would wake me up like 4, 5, 6, 20 times, or however many times it took, and eventually I'd get so mad. And she's probably watching right now. She can attest to this, and she could probably put it in there and chant, yes, he did. But she would say, come on, boy, shake a leg. Just to get her off my case, I would raise my leg and go. Just because I struggled to get out of bed. I hated it. And Amy's sitting there going, now I know where DJ gets it from. But I would struggle to get out of bed. We are struggling in the spiritual realm as well. Especially over the past few years, we've had so many attacks on us spiritually. Listen, the time is coming soon when Jesus Christ is going to come back. And it's tough right now. I'm not going to say the world's going to hell in a handbasket because I don't believe that, because my God is faithful and my God is good. My God is true. But times will get tough. The Bible tells us that it will get worse the closer it gets to Him coming back. But my God will triumph. My God will succeed. My God is victorious. But we are struggling in the spiritual realm right now today. It would be great if we didn't have to struggle anymore. How many of you wish for that day? When we don't have to struggle against sickness anymore. We don't have to struggle against our memory going. When we don't have to struggle against our physical body wearing down. When we don't have to struggle against forces that try to pull us away from God. And we don't have to struggle with our fleshly nature. I long for that day. I long for the day when we serve our God faithfully and we don't have to fight anymore. It would be so much easier. The problem is that because of the fall of man, that's not going to happen while we're here on this earth. Matthew 5:45 says this, "For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike." The reason why I use that verse is because we look at those that are not serving God and we go, why don't I have what they have? Why do I have to struggle the way that I do? And they get what they look like they're blessed. Oh, man, listen, I've been there. We sit there and go, why? Why is it that they get that and I get this? But let me let you know something. They have problems that you don't have. Because there's rain on the just and the unjust. There's sunlight on the just and the unjust. It's going to be that way. What I can tell you is this, though, that when we do struggle and when we do go through trials, there's a reason. There is a reason. Turn to somebody and say, there's a reason. There's a reason. Jesus has purpose in the struggle. Jesus has purpose in the struggle. We don't go through things on accident. We don't go through. If I'm going to go through something that's hard, I want there to be a payoff. Okay? If I'm going to diet, I want there to be a payoff. There better be a payoff. I don't care. If I've been dieting 2 hours, there needs to be a six-pack underneath here. I'm telling you, there needs to be a payoff. If I'm going to have to do away with most of my good foods, the stuff that I really enjoy, there better be a payoff for that. If I'm going to work out, I'm telling you, my arms better be as giant and as big as Derrick Henry's by the time I get done with one workout because I want a payoff. See, that's the mentality. Yeah, that ain't going to happen. I can guarantee you that. But that's the mentality of our society today. We want the payoff and we want it now. We want the payoff and we want it now. See, sometimes we have to struggle through in order to get to the real payoff. We have to struggle through certain situations. And God puts us, Jesus allows certain things to happen in our lives where we have to struggle because there is a purpose behind it. It's like, when Amy and I were on vacation one year, actually, we were on vacation. DJ was still a little guy, if y'all could ever imagine him being little. And we were at DeSoto State Park. We went on vacation with some friends of ours. And my friend said, hey, let's hike down to the waterfall. And I was like, okay, let's go hike down to the waterfall. We start hiking and hiking and hiking. And listen, I'm not talking about just a hike. We get to a point to where it's rock climbing. And I'm looking down, and it's probably a 30, 40-foot drop. And there's supposed to be this little trail that you're supposed to do this on. And I'm big boy. I can't do that. It ain't going to happen. So what do? I'm sitting there holding on to rocks. Amy's trying to climb down. We finally get down to the bottom. And Amy looks at me and says, go on without me. Just leave me. I'm done. But we end up walking, and we walk another probably mile and a half, something like that, to get to the waterfall. By the time we get there, I don't even care anymore. I'm sitting there going, great, water is falling. Let's go. I'm done. But we end up swimming, but there was a payoff at the end. I wanted there to be some great. Listen, I was expecting leprechauns to jump out with a pot of gold and say, here you go. That's the kind of payoff I was waiting for on that kind of thing. But the thing is, we saw the waterfalls. It was gorgeous, and we had a great time. My son almost drowned me when we decided to go swimming and all that. But when we go through struggles in life, it isn't for nothing. Everywhere in Scripture where people were going through something or where they were struggling in their lives, there was a purpose behind it. This story that we just read included. If you understand me, say, I do. Jesus purposefully put the disciples in a difficult situation Matthew 14, 22 says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted, again, say insisted. He insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. He insisted. That word insisted in the Bible, the original language, meant he compelled them. And it even moves it even further where it says he forced them. He said, no, because wouldn't you imagine they had just finished feeding the 5,000 people on the countryside. They wanted to hang out with Jesus. Jesus, that was so cool. Can't we just stay here with you? Can't we just hang out with the people? No, you have to get in the boat. You have to go. There's a purpose out on that lake that you don't know about yet, but you have to get into it, and you have to obey me. You have to go away from me and to get into the middle of that place before you're going to learn the lesson that I want you to learn. He forced them to leave. Everybody say forced. He forced them to leave. He sent them into a struggle. He forced them to get onto the boat knowing that they were going to encounter a storm. How many of you ever feel like that? God tells you to do something, and everything blows up on you. You're like, God, why'd you send me? Because you've got to go through this struggle so that you're going to be stronger for what's on the other side. See, we don't want to go through the struggle. We don't want to go through the pain. We don't want to go through the sickness. We don't want to go through the hurt. We don't want to go through the brokenness and the bitterness of what happened to us. And it's not that God causes those things to happen. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that God goes, I think I'm going to give this one a sickness, and then all of a sudden it happens. I don't think God does that. But God will take this broken vessel. He will take this vessel, and he will use this fallen creation in the midst of how broken we are, in the midst of the sickness that we allowed into this earth because of Adam and Eve and because of the fall of man, he will take what was allowed in and he will use it to teach us and to strengthen us and to use us. If you understand me, say I do. But he knew they were going to be in a storm. He knew they were going to be in a struggle. The Bible tells us that a severe storm blew in. Mark's account, he has the exact same account, but he leaves a part of it out. Mark says this in Mark chapter 6, verses 47 and 48. It says, late that night, the disciples were in their boat in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was alone on land. He saw that they were in serious trouble. He saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and what? Struggling against the wind and waves. Can I tell you something? God sees your struggle. God sees your struggle. You may feel like you're on a boat all alone in the middle of your storm, in the middle of your situation, but God sees your struggle. He sees your pain. He sees your hurt. He sees your doubts about what has happened in your own personal life. And he sees the fact that you are struggling to even understand why he would allow these things to happen. He understands what you're going through, and he sees that struggle. But he's going, come on, hang in there, because there is a purpose in the storm. There is a purpose in the struggle. There is a purpose in the situation. Everybody say purpose. There is a purpose. You see, he's done this before with the disciples. And that's what's so interesting. In Matthew chapter 8, Matthew tells of a similar story. It says they all got into a boat, and then they went, and Jesus, when he got in the boat, what did he do? He went and took a nap. Jesus was tired, y'all. He was ready to catch some Z's, so he ran off. He went down below deck, and he got in the boat, and he went to sleep. And all of a sudden, after he went to sleep, the storm came. Same lake, almost the exact same spot. You'd think that the disciples would get it through their head. Think about this. Do you think they would get it through their head? Hey, we've been through this before. He took care of us the first time. What about this time? But the same thing happened. A storm blew in, and they got so scared that they went and they woke Jesus up. In Matthew 8:25, it says, the disciples went and woke him up, shouting, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. In some versions and in some translations, it says, don't you care if we even die? Have you ever felt like that when you were going through something? God, do you even care that I'm struggling right now? Do you even care that I don't even want to live right now? Do you even care that my anxiety is so strong and so powerful that I can't stand to be around people? Do you even care that my depression has me so down that I'm sitting there thinking about suicide? Do you even care, God? They sat there and they screamed at him, or do you even care? By the end of their struggle that in this particular situation, the disciples walked away with something. They walked away with the fact that they can trust the master of the storm. They can trust the master of the storm even when he seems disinterested. He knows what's going on. Listen to me. When God seems like he's not within 1,000 miles of you, he still sees you. He may not seem like he's on the boat with you, but he's still right there within an arm's reach. He's still right there within the call of his name, Jesus. All you have to do is call on his name. All you have to do is call on him. They walked away with the knowledge that his plan cannot be blown off course and because of a few waves and because of a strong breeze. They walked away with the fact that their faith in him is what will see them through to the other side of the struggle. That's what they walked away with. They woke Jesus up and they said, God, Jesus, don't you care about us? And he says, don't you guys have any faith? And he says, peace, be still. And everything falls into place. The moment we call on the Master, the moment we realize he's still with us, the moment that we realize that he still has power over the struggle. See, both of these stories, if the disciples had not been thrown into the struggle, they wouldn't have discovered Jesus' purpose in that struggle. They would have never known that he was the master of the wind and the waves. They would have never known that with a word, he could silence the storms in their lives. Without the struggle, we cannot appreciate the victory and will never develop past our spiritual infancy. Church, if we want to stay the same, and if we want to stay just a child in our faith, or if we want to stay in the fact that we are satisfied with the little knowledge that we have, we can do that, but we won't grow in his presence. We won't grow in his knowledge. We won't grow in our relationship with him. Paul says it like this in Romans, if you would, Jason, put that up. In Romans chapter 5, it says this, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. See, in the King James Version, it says, when we run into struggles, we can rejoice, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope we will not lead to disappointment. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Our relationship with God is a process. We have to grow into it. And without struggles, we cannot grow. It's like a baby learning to walk. How many of y'all ever watched a baby try to walk? Okay, I love watching kids like this. Because you end up, they start off, what do they do to begin with? I'm not going to do it. They get down on their all fours and they crawl, right? They're crawling. And then when they finally realize, hey, wait a minute, these things are supposed to be straight up and down. So they get up and they finally get, they pull up on something and they're standing there like this. And what do? They're like, and then all of a sudden they hit their tail. They fall down. And what do we do as parents? Oh, poor baby, let me pick you up and let me just carry you so you don't walk around, so you don't have to struggle anymore. So, no. If we did that, then they would never learn to walk and they would never learn to be self-sufficient. Jesus Christ the same way. Sometimes he has to let us fall and hit our rear end every now and then so that we can learn to walk on our own. So that we can learn to walk in his presence. So that we can eventually learn to run. If you're with me, say, I am. Is this making any sense today? Listen. Notice that there's one difference between the two stories that I talked about, Matthew 8 and Matthew 14. There's one big difference. One of them in Matthew 8, Jesus was in the boat. Matthew 14, Jesus was on the shore. Their relationship was progressing. He had already been through the storm with them and held their hand through it one time. Now he was testing them, saying, okay, are you going to trust me even when you know I'm not there? Are you going to trust me even though I may not be there holding your hand? Are you going to trust me? God is not putting you through the struggle because he is vindictive. He's not doing it because he's a mean God. We sang it today. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. He is always good to us. He has a purpose behind it. He has a purpose behind the struggle. Even when we are struggling, God is still good. Amen? He sent the disciples out into the struggle because there was a lesson to be learned and a purpose that could only be found there. His purpose behind the struggle is to develop you piece by piece, bit by bit, so that when the struggle gets real, you can stand. If he treated us like spiritual babies and left us as spiritual babies who could not stand on our own, then we would never be able to go out and carry out the destiny that he has for us. He wants to develop us to the point to where we can stand, where we can strive, where we can carry out his will. It's like a muscle. It takes time adding weight as you develop. I mentioned Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry, he is like a beast. Okay, for those of you that don't know, he's a running back in the NFL. Amazing, amazing running back. And he is just a beast. I mean, he is giant. He will run over people. I think that he would run over a semi-truck. Okay, he is that strong. I mean, just bowls people over. And hardly anybody can stop and having a great year and doing a great job. But you know what? He started off just like a baby. Toddling around, falling on his tail. And messing up and falling down. He started that way. And if somebody had grabbed him up and said, oh, I don't want you to struggle, baby. I don't want you to struggle, Derek. He never would have reached his full potential. Listen, God puts us through struggle so that we can reach our potential in him. He puts us through struggle and through trials and through tribulations so that we could grow in our endurance, so that we could grow in our strength, so that we could grow in our faith and in our trust in him. Our faith has to be developed in the midst of the struggle if we're going to grow into the destiny that God has for us. If you understand me, say, I do. One of the lessons we can take away from this story is this. Jesus has purpose, but he also is present in the struggle. I've already told you, he sees you, but he doesn't just see you. Even though Christ wasn't in the boat with him, he knew that what was going on. Mark 6:48. He saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard, struggling against the wind and waves. Our God sees when we struggle. He sees when we struggle. He sees when we strive. To them, Jesus was nowhere. Jesus was nowhere to be found. I'm sure that they were questioning in their own minds. And going, I don't know about this. Why did he send us out here? We all know Peter in the Bible, right? Simon Peter. Simon Peter is somebody that we can learn from. He's also pretty rash. And he's a little rough around the edges. Simon Peter is somebody we can learn from. I imagine Simon Peter when the wind and the waves came up and they were bailing water out of the boat and the sails were starting to get blown and they were having to take the sails down. They were rowing against everything. And I imagine Simon Peter's like, I can't believe he sent us out here. And he's looking over at John going, John, John, you're supposed to be the one that he loves the most. Why do you think he sent us out here? And he's sitting there arguing with him. Meanwhile, Matthew, the tax collector, who's really good with numbers and everything, he's over there with his abacus going, well, if we just put this sale up and if we can get the ratios right, then we might be able to, and if we can get rid of this kind of water in the bottom of the boat. And everybody else is going, I don't know what we're going to do. Judas is over there counting his money going, hey, listen, Thomas, he's looking at Thomas going, Thomas, do you think we're going to get out of this? And Thomas looking at him and go, I doubt it. Yeah, that'll sink into some of y'all here in just a minute. But I can imagine that they're fighting amongst themselves and they're wondering what's going to happen. They're going back and forth, and they're fighting. And not only did Jesus see them, though, but the Bible says that he wasn't satisfied with just seeing their struggle. He went to them. God sees your struggle, but he's not going to leave you where you're at. He sees your struggle, but he's not going to just leave you there. Matthew 14:25, about 3 o'clock in the morning. Why Jesus waited till 3 in the morning, I don't know. Sometimes he wakes me up at 3 o'clock in the morning and tells me something to write down. I wish he would wait until about 7, 8 o'clock so I can get my sleep in. But you know what? It's not my timetable. It's God's. But at 3 o'clock in the morning, the fourth watch, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. Not only does Jesus see you in the midst of your struggle, but he chooses to come to you in your time of need. He doesn't come when we want him, but he's right on time. Y'all remember that song? He will always be on time. He comes to you in your time of need. In Isaiah 65:24, it says, I will answer them before they even call to me. While they are still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. Listen, before you utter a word, before you even put something out to God to say, God, I need, he's already going, hey, Gabriel, take this answer and go ahead and take care of that for them. I know they haven't asked for it yet, but they're going to. He's already sending the answer. He knows what you need. He knows what you want. And he is already coming into your needs. Some of you have been waiting for a long time. And I know this sounds like a lot of the other messages that I preach. But you know what? God must have it for somebody. And that's the reason why we're saying it today. Some of you have been waiting for years for God to answer a prayer. God is not late. He is still on his way. He hasn't forgotten about you. He hasn't left you out to dry. He has not abandoned you. He is still on his way to you. Before you can even think to call on him, he is already moving in your direction and on your behalf. Psalm 91:15, would they call on me, I will answer. It doesn't say I might. It doesn't say if they do the right songs. It doesn't say if they pray the right prayer. It doesn't say if they read enough scripture, if they witness to enough people, if they're good enough people, if they help the homeless, then I'll answer. It says, if they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. You mean more to Jesus than you could ever hope to understand. He cares so much for you that he was willing to go to a bloody cross, one of the worst deaths imaginable. He was willing to go through the whippings. He was willing to go through the beatings. He was willing to become a human pinata who people could not recognize anymore after he had been beaten for so long. He was willing to go through all of that just so that he could spend time with you. Matthew 10:28-30 says, do not be afraid for those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Some of us, he's got more numbers than others. But he still numbers them. He still knows every one of them. He knows every situation. He knows every problem. He knows every solution. No matter how dark, no matter how bleak your situation, no matter how much you struggle or what you struggle with, if it did not catch God off guard. He is not surprised by your struggle. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. Jesus is present in your struggle. He is present in your struggle. But Jesus is also our destination in our struggle. Some of y'all are going, how does that work? I want you to notice something. Matthew 14, 28 through 29. Then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. Like I said earlier, Peter was always good for a lesson. This guy would think first and ask questions later. He's a little rough around the edges. He had a bit of a temper. Cut off a guy's ear at one point. He's somebody I can relate to because there's a few people I'd like to cut their ears off. Actually, we probably know that he was a bad shot because he was probably aiming for the head and he just couldn't see him right. But he's somebody that I can relate to. Notice that Peter's destination had changed when he saw Jesus. We're told that the disciples got in the boat to go across the river, or across the lake, right? Across the sea. Matter of fact, Matthew 14:22 says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that the disciples get back in the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. All the disciples were trying to do was get through the storm. But then something happened. They were rowing and they were struggling to get through it, fighting the wind and the waves. Then when Jesus showed up in the middle of the struggle, something happened to Peter. He was no longer concerned with getting to the other side of the storm. As a matter of fact, he looked out and saw Jesus standing in the middle of what they were struggling with, standing in the middle of the wind and the waves. And he remembered the last time. He realized something. He remembered the last time this happened back in Matthew chapter 8. He remembered that last time, hey, I remember last time Jesus just spoke a word and everything was fine. So I don't need to be in this boat. I need to be where he is. Okay, you missed a good opportunity right there, folks. We don't need to worry about staying where we're at and struggling through the situation that we're in. We need to change our destination. We're not trying to get to the other side of the struggle. We need to get into the presence of the one who can calm the struggle. We need to get into the presence of the one who can calm the storm. He remembered that the power that was in Jesus' words when he said, peace be still. He was there when the wind and the waves calmed, and all because of this man who was standing in the middle of his current storm. And he said, if he did it then, he can do it again. If I'm going to make it through this, if I'm going to survive, then I need to go where he is. I need to get where he's at. I don't want to just make it through this storm. The other side doesn't concern me anymore. This is what he's saying. The other side doesn't concern me anymore. Getting through my situation doesn't matter anymore. I need to get where he is. My destination is no longer the safety of the shore, but the presence of the one who controls the struggle. Get me to the one that controls the wind and the waves. That's what Peter was saying. Church, we don't need to just struggle through. We need to change our destination. Some of you have been going, if I can just make it to the next payday, then I can take care of some things. If I can just make it through this surgery, then I'll be okay. If I can just find the right combination of medicines to take care of the pain and take care of the hurt in my life, if I can just steer clear of the people that caused me the pain. And we sit there, and if I can just get through this, then I'll be okay. Stop trying to get through it and run to the one who can calm it. Stop trying to row the boat. Stop. Yes, we got to struggle sometimes, but stop trying to row it on your own. Get to the one who can help you. Get to the one who has the power to calm every wind and every wave in your life. If it means, and see, that's the thing. A lot of us, we sit there and we go, well, I want to know Jesus, but it just seems to get worse before it gets better. Think about Peter. Peter said, Jesus, if it's really you, get me out. Let me come to you. Called for me. And I'm sure he's thinking, he ain't never going to do this. And all of a sudden says, all right, Bubba, come on. And don't you know Peter's eyes probably got as big as saucers. Oh, and he's looking around and the other guys, I imagine John going, well, you stuck your foot in that one, didn't you? Head out. And I imagine his foot is shaking just a little bit as he gets over the side of that boat. He puts his foot down and he's expecting things to sink. He's expecting to fall down underneath the water and to have to hang on to the boat, and he's going to have to start swimming. But when he puts his foot down, he feels something solid. He's going, wait a minute. It's supposed to be more dangerous out here than it is in the boat. See, sometimes God calls us into even more of a struggle before we find our victory. He pulled his foot, pushed his foot down. He brought his other one down. He's like, oh, I like this. And all of a sudden, he starts walking towards Jesus. He's going, I like this. This is awesome. And then all of a sudden, he lets his situation distract him from his destination. And he starts to sink. The Bible says that he started seeing the wind and the waves. I'm just not even going to go back to my notes now. He started to see the wind and the waves, and he saw how strong they were. He saw how ugly his situation was. He saw what the doctor's report said about his cancer. He saw what the nurses were talking about. He saw the broken family and the divorce coming a mile away. He saw the situation that was blowing up in his face. He saw the abuse that he had to go through in his own personal life, and he saw these things, and he saw the winds and the waves start coming in on him, and he started getting distracted from what he was supposed to be looking at and from what his destination that he was trying to walk towards, and all of a sudden he started getting overwhelmed. Listen, church, if we take our eyes off of our destination, who is Jesus Christ, he is the destination. When we take our eyes off of him and start paying attention to all the weight that falls on top of us, we're going to drown. We can't get distracted by our situation. I know it's painful. I know you're struggling. But don't get distracted by the struggle from the prize that is set before you. There's a race that we're running. And if we pay attention to every ache and every pain and every struggle and every trial and every tribulation that we go through, we will never make it to the end. But he who endures to the end shall receive a prize. Endure, church. Endure. If you would, stand with me today. Father God, right now, I pray for those that are struggling, those that are hurting, those that are wondering what's going to happen. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would let them know, Lord, that they are more than conquerors, but that they are overcomers. That, Lord, remind them what it says in your word in Romans, where it says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That, God, they don't have to fall down. They don't have to pay attention to what's around them, but that, God, you are always beside them. When the struggle gets real, Lord, let them rely on the one whom their strength comes from. I want to read one more scripture. JC, I'm going to go back to Psalm 121 before I close. Actually, I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians 4. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. I'm going to say that again. That's bore witness with some folks here today. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. God's not done yet. You're in your struggle, but God's not done yet. You're in your trial, but God's not done yet. It's not over. Somebody say, it's not over. When the struggle gets real, change your destination. Don't just try to survive the struggle. Step into the storm and into the struggle with the mindset of, I got to get to Jesus. I got to get to Jesus. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Some of you are in the middle of a struggle right now, and you're sitting there going, I'm struggling, and I don't know what to do, but I've got to get to Jesus. If you're in the middle of a struggle today, God is saying, come and find me. Come and find me. Come and find me. If that's you today, I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. If you need to get to where Jesus is, if you need to get to where Jesus is in the middle of your struggle, in the middle of your trial, if you need strength today to survive your struggle, right now I invite you to just come forward and let us lay hands on you and pray for you this morning. No matter what it is, it could be physical, financial, spiritual, emotional, relational. It doesn't matter. If that's you, right now I invite you to come forward in Jesus' name. Come on. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Come on. If I could have some men and women of God that would come and help me pray for these that are coming down front. Come on, church. Pray right now. There's lives that are holding in the balance here. There's lives that need to be changed here. God, in the name of Jesus, whatever the struggle is, whatever the trial is, whatever the situation is right now, God, I pray right now for both of Miss Florence's sons that, Lord, you would be with them. But God, in her own personal struggles, in the questions that come into her mind, in the questions that come into your heart, God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would give her clear answers, that God, you would let her know that the struggle, there is a purpose for that struggle, and that God, you are developing her for a destiny. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for Adam. Church, stretch your hands out towards these that are down front and pray for them right now. God, I pray for Adam that you would be with him, God. Whatever this struggle is, whatever this situation is, God, I pray that you would let him know, Lord, that he needs to let go of things and to understand that, God, you have them in control, that you have them in your hands, that, God, that you would guide and direct him in every decision he makes, everything that he does, that, Lord, he wants to be more like you. He wants to become like you. But, God, it's going to be a struggle because at times it's going to hurt. Because you've got to do spiritual surgery on us and take pieces of us out. Let us decrease while you increase. God, in the name of Jesus, give him the strength to withstand the struggle. Give him the strength in the middle of his storm. God, let him feel the strength that comes into him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Let him know, Lord, that you're walking with him and that you've called him out into the storm for a purpose. God, I pray for Caleb today, that God, in the name of Jesus, you would touch him as a young man, that you would raise him up as a man of God, the man he's supposed to be. That God, in the name of Jesus, you would guide and direct him, Lord, that you would help him to understand the destiny that you've called him for is not one of this world. It's not one that the world would look at and say it's something that he needs to do, but that God, you have a specific destiny for him. That you would guide him and direct him in those decisions. In Jesus' name, Lord, send people his way to mentor him and to help him to become the man of God that he's called to be. In Jesus' name, Lord. In Jesus' name. God, I pray for this precious couple right here. God, I pray for them together as they are one body, one flesh. That God, when one hurts, the other hurts. When one struggles, the other struggles. And God, they want to fix it for each other. But God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that they would not try to fix it for each other, but that they would run together towards the one that has the strength to withstand the struggle. That they would run to the one who knows the situation. That they would run to the one with all the answers. God, I pray for peace. Peace. I pray for release in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for release. Release from the past. Release from ourselves, God, the things we hold against ourselves. God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. He who is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. God, today there is a new creation being born. There is a new creation being formed. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Healing, God. Healing, healing, healing. Peace in the middle of the struggle. That you're in control. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, it's one last thing I have to do. I never want to leave this place without giving someone the opportunity to meet Jesus. If you're in this room and you need to meet Him as your personal Lord and Savior, you need Him to save you and to forgive you of your sins. If that's you today, then right now I want you to say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, everybody in the room, say this with me. Lord Jesus, right now I give you my life. Forgive me of my sins and help me to live for you. I understand I've made mistakes. I understand that I'm a fallen creation. But I also understand that you are my Redeemer. You are my Savior. And you're my friend. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins. And thank you for strength in the struggle. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Can we give God praise? Hallelujah. If you said that prayer, this is just the beginning. That's not the end. That's the beginning. That's the beginning. Your relationship starts now. Get in the Word. Get into prayer time. Get involved in the church. And let's go after God together as a family of God. If you understand me, say, I do. Lord Jesus, take us home safely. Bring us back safely tonight for the fall festival. But most of all, let us represent you well in everything we do. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen.